We've been talking about the trump of God on page 149, I believe is where we begin our study today, the first paragraph. And there are three scriptures highlighted in the paragraph, the Daniel and the Revelation and the First Thessalonians. And I just wanted to say that I appreciated what Brother Jerry did as far as the, did I miss your hand, Sister Linda? Brother Jerry did the research and found out about that, comment that was listed on Revelations 10:7, I believe, Tim Sohatki had mentioned it, and it's not an accurate comment as Brother Jerry. I hope the brethren had an opportunity to read the explanation of that Jerry found that was written by Barber long and early reprints, and Brother Russell was shown as a co-author of a book that Barber wrote. But if we look at the comments, and we'll get into this more, I think, after we read this paragraph and read this. I want to read the scriptures that are cited there, too, because that same comment about the 1840 day is given in Revelation 11:15. The more accurate reference is page 601 in the fourth volume. So let's read the paragraph, and then we'll read the scriptures, and then we'll discuss this. So let's see if we can have Brother David. It's nice to have you back with us, and we'd like you to read that paragraph for us. The first paragraph on page 149, please.
Can I read the next paragraph?
Okay. We'll hold that then. Okay. So maybe, Sister Robin, would you read that paragraph for us?
Starting with just hear another.
No, thus we find.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Thus we find the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, all symbols, and now in the process of fulfillment. Note carefully, too, the fact that each of the three prophecies just referred to, Daniel 12:1, Revelation 11:15, and 1 Thessalonians 4:16, declares the Lord's presence at the time when the events mentioned transpire. They were foretold for the very purpose of indicating the matter in which his invisible presence would be manifested to those who have faith in the word of prophecy. Paul says, the Lord shall descend with literally in or during a shout, voice, trumpet, etc. John says that the kingdom of this world become his during the time of these events. And Daniel says, at that time shall Michael, the great prince Christ, stand up, be present, and take to himself his great power. If, therefore, we can recognize the shout, the voices, and the sounding of the great trumpet, we should accept them as indications not that the Lord will come soon, but rather he has come and is now present, and that the harvest work of gathering the wheat and burning the tares is already underway. This we shall soon see in abundantly proved by time prophecies. Yet it is not to the natural vision, but only to the eye of faith through the sure word of prophecy that his presence and work can be discerned.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Robin, for reading that paragraph. And Brother Jim Tower, would you read Daniel 12:1 and Sister Stephanie, Revelation 11:15, and maybe Sister Marilyn Bach, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And then I would also like Sister Sharon Fifield read 2 Peter 1:19. So let's look at those scriptures.
Daniel 12:1, King James. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Over.
Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
First Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Okay, 2 Peter
1:19.
Yes, 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts.
Thank you for reading those scriptures. Okay, brother, now let's see, how do these scriptures that were read help us in understanding the trump of the archangel, the shout of the voice of the archangel? What's Brother Russell showing us as the evidence here? When anyone, Sister Margaret.
Well, I remember something Sister Alice said in the, I think maybe it was a Friday meeting, that really Revelation 11:15, however she put it, is so, such strong proof of our Lord's return. The seventh angel sounded, the kingdoms, the world became the kings of Christ, he shall reign forever. And then dropping down to, oh, 18. Combine it with 18. The nations were angry, thy wrath has come, the time of the day that they should be judged, that they should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and so forth. So we see conditions on the earth as a result of our Lord's return and the seventh trumpet being blown. And of course the ministry of Brother Russell that brought these truths so much more to light as regards the timing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Margaret. Okay, Sister Sharon Byfield, and then Brother Tim Sohosky will have a comment. Sister Sharon?
Yes, the scripture that I read in 2 Peter 1:19, I think really shows the other scriptures that we read, because it talks about prophecy, which of course they are, and it warns us and alerts us to the fact that a light will shine in a dark place, and the world of general mankind, the ones in the nominal religions and the others in the world, are in a dark place. And we, blessed by the God Almighty, are given a light, and we see that day star arising in our hearts because of the knowledge that He has given us. God has a plan, and thank God we're all in it.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Okay, Brother Tim.
Well, in Daniel 12:1, Michael is the archangel. And then it says the great prince who stands guard over all his sons and sons' sons. Well, that's showing that he's present. He's, you know, there's a time of trouble. What's this happening right now? I mean, well, you can see the trouble. You can see the signs there that there's trouble. And if you go down further, it says, we're to say back and forth, you know, things are going back and forth and the knowledge will increase. That's also showing that he's present too.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Tim. Yes, we certainly have seen these events take place during our Lord's second presence. Brother Jerry.
I'd like to comment just briefly about 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Also was one of those texts that was read. I often think, how could Apostle Paul write to the Thessalonians in this way? How did he know the Lord would descend with a shout and the voice of an archangel? And I think that Paul must have been reading or thinking of Zechariah 9, verse 9 and 14. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. He is humble and mounted on a, oh, this is the English Standard Version, mounted on a donkey. A colt, full of a donkey. Let me go back to King James Version. But this was the first advent, but it seems to be a prophecy of the second advent and the shouting. Down in verse 14 continues a parallel with the first and second advent. And the Lord shall be seen over them. And his arrow shall go forth as lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds on the earth. So some of this language that prophesied the first advent, Paul said would be signs at the second advent. Over.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Jerry, for that text. And just the way you started to read it, that shows to me that it's our Lord's second presence, because it's saying, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. And that, very good. Sister Linda? Need a microphone. Can you pass that back? Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. I was just thinking of the scripture. Is it on? Okay. I was just thinking of the scripture that Sister Margaret read in Revelation 11, and she read 18. And one of the things I find in Revelation 18 that's very interesting, it talks about the nations being angry. And it said, you should destroy them which destroy the earth. And there's a little asterisk here in my Bible that says, or corrupt. And we can certainly see that today. We can see the earth being destroyed in every way, not only physically with what they're doing to the earth, but also morally, and everybody in the earth today has got, it's like they have no sense anymore, no spiritual or moral sense, and you can see it everywhere. And it's kind of a sad thing to see the human family in such a condition. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Linda. Yeah, it is sad, but we know that the outcome, we know that God's plan will rectify all the suffering. Sister Sharon, do you have what? Oh, boy. Brother Rick, I'm sorry I missed your hand. Oh, I see you now. Please.
No problem. Nice to see you all. In 1 Thessalonians 4, in two places, it gives a prophetic and a message that couldn't be understood by the apostles or any up until the presence of the Lord, the parousia of the Lord in 1874. Verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So it shows that the Daniel prophecy, Daniel 12 and 1, of the standing up, and this prophecy of those that are still alive after the resurrection in 1878 will be one by one pass from death immediately into where the Lord is in the atmosphere. Shows that archangel's message happened after 1874. If I'm wrong, it had to be corrected and I appreciate it. But I think that's something in the Bible that no one understood until 1874, and we're privileged to understand it now in our time, in our day. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. Yes, we certainly are blessed and privileged to have that understanding of the mystery. And the, as you mentioned, those that are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when they end this earthly life. And Sister Sharon, please.
Thank you. Yes, Brother Bill, I was looking at that 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And if you just read it without this knowledge, without your light being awakened, and it says there that the dead in Christ are made, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, if you're looking at that and your first, my mind went first to the thought that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, that would have been the ancient worthies, in 1881, the thought about sleeping saints. Maybe I should not be talking. But anyway, the second part was that, so the dead in Christ can only apply to the elect church. And then when it says rise first is the chief resurrection. Over.
Yes, that's very accurate. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. We see a hand from Brother, is that Brother Rick? Is that a new hand?
Yeah, I just had one further thought on that, is for those thousands of years, 2,000 almost, people thought when they died, they would go to heaven immediately. That was the hope of the Christian, to die and go to heaven immediately. And they still think when they die, they go immediately to heaven. But that was impossible according to this scripture, because Christ's presence on the earth, his parousia, had to come first before anyone would be raised from the dead to go anywhere. And so that's an evidence of that. Over.
Thank you. Thank you for making that distinction, Brother Rick. And yeah, the people in nominal Christendom are still blinded, still have a misunderstanding of Brother Brad, please.
Oh, Brother Bill, I just kind of commenting on the paragraph broadly. I think that what Brother Russell's trying to get the mind of the reader to grasp here is that this is all involves a process. The Lord's return involves a lot of actions that will be taken. A number of things will happen, and we see those in some of the texts that we already have looked at. There's an interesting reprint. It's reprint 3820, and it's kind of interesting because Brother Russell talks about those who had seen the prophetic time through chronology. And then he says, I, on the contrary, was led first to proper views of the object and manner of our Lord's return, and then to the examination of the time for these things indicated in God's word. Well, he mentions the manner in this paragraph. He says they were foretold for the very purpose of indicating the manner in which his invisible presence would be manifested. So I think what he's trying to get us to really focus on and recognize is that these prophecies were given in connection with the invisible presence and the parousia, the presence. So it's looking at things through the prophetic eye, through the scriptural insights, that you'll see the Lord's return. And you'll look then for the evidences, the things that are taking place that indicate that the Lord has returned. So I think that's kind of what he's getting us to look at. And that would be happening that these, he mentions, during the time of these events. So these things would be going on, taking place, and that's what we're seeing, and that's why we're studying this, to kind of give the evidences of the talk about and give insights into the activities that are going on during the Lord's presence, and not while everybody else is waiting for a coming, but rather that word parousia only indicates the presence, if it's correctly understood. Thank you, Brother Bill.
Thank you for those thoughts, Brother Brad, and for that reprint article. And as Sister, Robin read that last part of the paragraph about the, reference to 2 Peter 1:19 about the, we see these things through the eye of faith, through the sure word of prophecy, that his presence and work can be discerned. And like you brought out the evidence of the events. I want to have Sister, just a minute, Sister Sharon, we'll take your comment. Oh, I see your hand was up and then it went down. I wanted Sister Ruth to read a paragraph from the fourth volume.
Hi. Hey there.
The great trumpet, we understand to be the antitypical trumpet of Jubilee, the seventh trumpet, as symbolic as the preceding six, Revelation 11:15-18. none of which ever made any literal sound. It has been symbolically sounding since October 1874 and will continue to the end of the millennium. With the beginning of this trumpet began the harvest and the reaping and separating, which must continue until the elect, the wheat, are all gathered out of the present heavens, ecclesiastical systems, unto the Lord. The angels, messengers, are those who carry the message of the Lord's word, which produces the separation and gathers his elect to himself. This is page 601, paragraph 2.
Thank you, Sister Ruth. I had the microphone off, sorry. But that, and that leads us right into, as the paragraph ends, it talks about gathering the wheat and burning the tares and so forth. And we're going to be talking more about the harvest work. And, as we sang in the, you know, the hymn last week, the Jubilee trumpet is sounding, and it will continue to sound through the entire millennial age, as Sister Ruth read. Sister Sharon Fifield.
Well, reading this paragraph and listening to the verses of the scriptures that we have read, I just felt impressed to mention how blessed we are as God's people, that we had Brother Russell to help us open our eyes to scriptures, because those in nominal religions and those who just, for some reason or other, read the Bible, they see the same scriptures we do, but they don't understand those scriptures like we've been guided in these books to understand them, and because our heart is right and our mind is right, we're opened up to the truths of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. And yes, we're so thankful for that wise and faithful servant, Brother Russell. And as Sister Ruth read in that paragraph, the messengers are those who carry the message of the Lord's word, which produces a separation and gathers his elect to himself. So we see that work going on. Brother Bill, please.
I'd just like to echo Sister Sharon's thoughts a little bit. Brother Rick brought out some of the surrounding verses of Revelation 16. And there's one more. The very last verse is significant in light of what Sister Sharon brought out. And it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And as we see the unfolding of these prophecies, and as we see the evidence of the presence of our Lord, and what's going on in the world around us, it is a way of comforting one another to remind ourselves of this, and that everything is proceeding as it should be. And it really is a comforting message when you think of it in that light. Back to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bill. I missed the reference to, did you say Revelation 16? You meant 11:18.
I probably said Revelations. I meant 1 Thessalonians 4.
Oh.
1 Thessalonians 4:18. That's the last verse. And, I just like how that kind of gives a crown to the prophecies.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bill. Any other thoughts on, Brother Walt? Good to see you.
Good to be seen. I was just thinking some familiar texts have been brought up in our study already, but blend in well. That's 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which all these things take place. And that 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. And that Daniel 2:44, the in the which the well, I think I better look or I'll get it off kilter here. But everybody knows the text and is familiar with it. Destruction of the present systems comes because the Lord is present and doing his work. 2:44, in the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom, and it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Again, things that we've already discussed in our study, but just I think they fit in well here, that there's a lot going on, and it's due to the Lord's presence and the grinding down of the old order and the establishment of the new. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Walt. There certainly is a lot going on. A lot of events taking place that we see in the prophecies. And thank you for those scriptures in 2 Peter 3:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:4, and Daniel 2:44. Thank you, Brother Tim.
You know, I also like to mention that God sent another helper to us. As it states in John 14:16, and this is Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper.
Comfort.
And this helper is the Spirit of Truth. It's the Holy Spirit. And that's, we need that too. I think he gave that to Brother Russell, and I think he gave it to all of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Tim. I know he gave it to Brother Russell and to us. We are so thankful for our Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit. Okay, let's see. How's our time doing? We're doing all right, I guess. I don't see any more hands for this paragraph. And Brother David said he'd read that next paragraph. So, Brother David, are you ready to read that paragraph for us?
Yeah. Let's see. Just here, another fact should not be overlooked, namely that the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, as above explained, are all instrumentalities for the accomplishment of the harvest work of the gospel age. If, therefore, we see not only the meaning of these symbols, but the foretold results actually taking place, we have additional proof both that we have rightly interpreted the symbols, and that we are now in this period called the harvest, in which the gospel age and the millennial age lap, the one closing, the other opening. Many will need no aid in the tracing a set mark now going on between the truly consecrated and the merely nominal Christians. Many can see the symbolic fire already underway, and can discern the shout of the people, the command of the new King Emmanuel, and the events called the seventh trumpet, and the clouds of trouble, in which the Lord comes, and from and in which his power is to be manifested, subduing all things unto himself.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother David. Any thoughts of your own on that, on the paragraph that you read? That's
I have to circle back and translate it in Romanian in my head. Maybe I'll have something.
Oh, okay. Very good. We'll take other hands here then. We see that Brother Russell's just further explaining what we've been talking about. The shout and the seventh trumpet, the trouble and so forth. Does anyone wish to expand on what was brought out here? The meaning of the symbols and so forth. And Sister Sharon.
I think the only thing that's different in this paragraph, not different, but in this paragraph, it brings out the overlapping of the ages. I think that's the key words in this paragraph. And I appreciated Brother Brad making a summary of the last paragraph. But as you said, this is just showing the progression and that again, we're looking at symbols and that to be able to discern this shout is that the understanding of these scriptures and the light that has been brought to us is possibly how is what I would look at. And of course, we know that he's quoting the Matthew 13, which is about the harvest. And then again, he's talking the first First Thessalonians 4:16. But that's how I would see this one. That the only thing that was different is the thought about the work that's going on now, and that the harvest is an overlapping period on the chart.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. And I saw a hand from the tower connection, and then Brother Rick, and then Brother Igor, and then Brother Walt. Okay. Brother Jim?
This is just sort of an offhanded comment, which is obviously obvious, but we're talking about what Brother Russell was seeing in his day. And if he were alive today to see what's going on in the world, I mean, virtually every country, every major corporation is becoming dysfunctional. And it's just, it's amazing to me how what was seen then and earlier is playing out today. It's horrible to watch, but at the same time, it's interesting and exciting. It's anyway, just thoughts. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jim. It is exciting. We live in exciting times at this end of the age. Brother Rick. Where did you go? Oh, you're muted, Brother Rick. Yeah. There you are. Okay.
I guess to Brother Walt, let him comment because time's running out and I've already commented a couple times and I'd like to hear Brother Walt's comment.
Okay. I think we go to 11, don't we? Yes.
Oh, I thought I was 10:45. Okay, I'll comment.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask a question like I do sometimes. I don't want to get away from the main thrust of the paragraph. But it does mention the voice of the archangel. My question was this. The scriptures mention many times archangels, not just archangel. I know Jesus is the chief messenger of our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
But the voice of the archangel, what would be the assignment of other archangels? Because they're superior. Like, is he just one of the archangels, or is there just one chief archangel, but others also that have an assignment that's higher than the other angels? Over.
Sister Chris?
Well, I was thinking of Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that he was an archangel because he was given that special commission. Maybe he wasn't. To tell Mary that she was going to bear Jesus. And I think in some cases, the chiefies got to get this special job, whereas regular angels were assigned other duties.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Chris. Any thoughts, Sister Stephanie or Brother Jim, on Brother Rick's question?
I just looked up archangel in Strong's Concordance, and it occurs only twice in the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Jude, and I don't see any listing for archangels plural. Over.
Okay, thank you, Sister Stephanie. Sister Margaret?
Brother Tom Ruggiero gave an interesting talk just in July, Gabriel's duty. It was very interesting on the, particularly Gabriel, but he starts off, as I recall, about archangels in general, of course, our Lord above all. Yeah, I thought I'd just mention that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Margaret. Brother Walt, did you have a thought on Brother Rick's question, or did you have something else?
I had something else, so I'll hold for a minute.
Okay. Thank
I'm
you.
Only referring to it because reprint 164, and there's about six other reprints listed that mention archangels in the comments. But if there's only two references in the scripture using the word archangel and none using archangels, then I would understand he being the archangel. But those comments do refer directly to archangels. I believe there is a scripture in the listing too that, where is it here? Yeah, E-424 mentions the archangel, the highest chief messenger, but then reprint 164 says the very chief of God's creation, higher than the angels and archangels. And reprint 417 also mentions the chief of God's creation, higher than angels and archangels. So that's why I had the question. But I can do some more research on it myself if there's no more comments. Thank you.
What was the reference in the fifth volume, Brother Rick? E what?
It was E. Just a minute here. E for the archangel. Yeah, the reference to archangels. And it refers to Hebrews 1:5-8. It's a reprint 164, page 2. And also 417, page 4, has reference to archangels in the comment. Over.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. Brother Brad, did you have a thought on Brother Rick's question?
I could maybe just add in a point to consider. We know that on the Ark of the Covenant, there were two angels. And so if you have an ark, I mean, I don't know that there's a direct connection as chief, but there were two angels on the ark. Also, Daniel 10:13 refers to one of the chief princes, which I have a note that it should be translated the chief of one of the princes. And Jude 1:9, the chief one of the rulers. So I think a common thought is that there were two archangels, and one of them was Lucifer, and the other one was the Logos. I'll just stop there.
Thank you, Brother Brent. What was the Daniel scripture? It was Jude 1, 9 and Daniel what?
10, verse 13.
10, 13. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. And thank you for the question. It's Sister Ellie. You need a microphone for Sister.
Just in reply. I think that's the world's idea that Lucifer was an archangel, and that because God created only one being, and he created Jesus, and through him was everything created. And Satan was, perhaps he was the first creation after that. We have no idea, though, but I think the Bible only mentions, and that reprint article is very early. And some of those early reprint articles weren't necessarily written by Brother Russell.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Sister Ellie. We found that out when we found that reference to the date of 1840. That was from a very early reprint article and was not accurate. Was not. Okay, Brother Tim?
I also think the word ark means superior, above all.
Yes, it does. So, yeah.
And that's what Michael was. He was considered an archangel above all, the great prince.
The great prince, right.
It's, it says that.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Tim. Okay, Brother Igor? Need a microphone.
Based on what I'm seeing here, I think the angels are a little bit lower than archangels. And your father, archangels? Oh, thank you. And if that's the case, I'm thinking that the church, 144,000, they will reach this level of the archangels. So if we can imagine the steps on, probably has more categories, but what I see and understand, the angels, well, it's less than archangels. Based on that, the archangels from 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it's speaking about the shout and the voice of archangel, which is higher than the angels. Yes, I'm not sure if I confused Brother Bill, but that's what I'm saying.
Yes, thank you, Brother Igor. Appreciate you bringing out that thought, because we will be like our Lord, and so we will be in that same position as he is an archangel, and we will be in that same, on that same level. So that's what we look forward to. Brother Jim or Sister Stephanie.
Well, the church, when complete, will be above the level of angels. The church, when complete, will be in the divine nature. So just wanted to clarify that. We're not going to be, if we're faithful, not going to be angels anymore. We'll be of the divine nature, like our Lord is now, and the Heavenly Father.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Sister Stephanie, I'm thinking also that, our Lord is called an archangel at the point of his, at the point of the shout of the trumpet of the archangel. So we will be up to that same level. If he's an archangel, we'll be at that same level when we, are part of that body of Christ. Brother Rick, and then we'll get to Brother Walt. We've only got our time's fleeting here, but go ahead, Brother Rick.
Just in agreement with Sister Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus now is a new creation, as 144,000 are and will be. Are they still classed as angels then? Will we still class the Lord as an archangel as well as being of the divine nature? Because an archangel, an angel can be put to death because they're mortal. Whereas a new creation is a new creation. It is immortal. So that's just a thought.
I think, Brother Rick, I think possibly we're getting confused with the term archangel and having that thinking of an angel, but I'm not sure. It talks about our Lord being the prince, the chief archangel, and I don't know. Anybody, any thoughts that want to clarify it a little more? Brother Igor.
He's coming.
Yeah.
We understand that is divine nature and spiritual nature. This is two categories. One is in danger, which is the angels, which is spiritual nature. Yes, Luchika is reading my mind. Danger of death is of death. It's the spiritual one, which is part of the angels. Divine, it's reaching the Heavenly Father, Jesus, and 144,000. My question to Brother Rick and to Sister Stephanie, if these archangels are part of which category? Which, yes,
Sister Ellie?
I want to quote Ephesians.
Ephesians?
20:21, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, the heavenly places. He's received the divine nature far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's put all things under his feet and so forth. All spirit beings are spirit of the spirit nature, but as someone said, this is a new creation. And it's a new creation and different. Same spirit, though, of the rest of the in spirit beings, but different. No, I don't. And the church will be part of this. Not the real purpose of this thing I was going to say.
Ephesians
1:20-23.
Brother Walt, I think we might have, well, let's Sister Stephanie first.
Hebrews 1.
Right.
Verse 3 and 4. When our Lord had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then also the chart on volume 1, page 176 is always good.
Volume 1, page 176, is that what you said? And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Brother Walt, did you have a...
I just had a couple of thoughts came to mind. I appreciated the Judges 1:6, I think, that Bill put in the chat. Says Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, and so on. So Michael is called the archangel there. The text of that we've been studying here, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel. And our study, last topical section, Jesus is called the Logos, the Word, communicator, giver of messages. So that's my 2 cents worth. As far as the paragraph goes, I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 10:11. King James isn't as good there, but the like the Weymouth, all this kept happening to them with a figurative meaning, but it was put on record by way of admonition to us, upon whom the ends, plural, of the ages, plural, have come. So indeed we are in the overlapping end of one age and the beginning of the other. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Walt. And Brother Rick?
Could it be that because it's symbolic, it's the voice that we could focus in on, whether he was the Logos at the beginning, he's always been the spokesman for our Father. Whether he was on the earth, he was always the spokesman. Now that he's returned and he is a new creature, a divine nature, it's still the voice of the chief messenger that is hurt, as opposed to thinking of it as a physical thing. It's his assignment, his position, that he's the chief messenger still, no matter what form he's in, human, divine, angelic. Could that be it? I would look at it that way. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. I think that's a good way of looking at it. And Sister Chris has her hand up, and so does Brother, and my brother, or Sister Chris. We're out of time.
I'm going to say that our Lord was given many, many titles. He's called the Captain of our salvation. He's called the Prince of Peace. So maybe an archangel is just a title given to someone.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother or Sister Chris. I think. Which did you, Brother? Brother Walt, you said Judges, but did you mean Jude? Yeah, but it's
yes,
Jude.
The abbreviation was J-U-D, and I had a 50-50 chance I guessed wrong, but it was the text that Brother Bill O put in there.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
That was, would be Judges, now that I think of it.
No, it's Jude. It's Jude 1:6.
Yes, that's, I can't even fix my mistake right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the question, Brother Rick. I think my understanding is archangels is right at the top, above all angels. Okay. And as Sister Chris brought out, it's a title that's assigned to our Lord. So we'll begin next. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot, Brother. Go ahead.
I would just like to add Romans 8, 38 to 39. It speaks of the same things in Ephesians. So there's two scriptures on that. 38
and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Thank you, Brother Tim. So next week we would begin on the first paragraph on page 150, where it begins, we have already in volume one, page 237, and so forth. We're going to be talking more about the harvest work. So, thank you, brethren, for your comments. And we had a closing hymn.